Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, paranormal detective Greg Lawson.
Let me feel safe in my own skin. You hear me crying out when I'm silent. Ain't nobody knows my stories like you do. Cause you help me write them, you were in it too. You make me feel like I'll be alright then. Alright then.
Greg Lawson has been involved in the world of professional law enforcement and investigation work for decades. Being able to view the world of the paranormal through a filter of a law enforcement professional gives him a very unique perspective. How often does the world of paranormal and mental health collide? Are the dead often involved in crimes and criminal investigations, even tragedies? Today, we hear about life from the perspective of the paranormal detective, Greg Lawson.
I was 5 years old. And my brother, who was 12 years older than I was, had a motorcycle. So he was 17, and he would take me on this little motorcycle on the back roads of Central Texas. And we would just drive around and look for old buildings, old structures, and cemeteries. And then he would take me around and basically just scare the crap out of me, right? We'd go to a cemetery, one specific cemetery that is my first memory of paranormal, so to say, is Middle Fistville Cemetery in Austin, Texas, or North Austin. And we pulled up on the motorcycle, you know, we got out, and then typically, in his typical fashion, he would go around and read the tombstones. And he would read the names and the dates and stuff like that. And then he'd figure out how old the person was. So his goal was to go into the cemetery and find the graves of children my age or younger, and then scare me, you know. And so it started like that. Shortly after that, I was going to watch Frankenstein on TV. It was going to be on TV, and I'm going to watch Frankenstein. Well, my mom said, no, you're not going to watch Frankenstein. You're going to go to bed. And I threw a fit. You know, I cried, and she says, okay, you want to watch Frankenstein? Let's watch Frankenstein. So she sets the TV up. You know, back then, this would have been 1970, I guess, 1968, 70, something like that. And she goes in and makes the Jiffy Pop popcorn, you know, in the little metal tin, the old style, yep. You know, where it blows up like a big hat. And I remember she gave me Jiffy Pop popcorn and some sort of orange soda, probably Orange Crush. Mm-hmm. And I sat and I watched Frankenstein, and it terrified me, right? And that night I had the terrifying dream of the blonde lady coming to get me. I'm not sure where the blonde lady came from, but anyway, it was kind of like a old hag experience. You know, I'm a little kid, and mm-hmm. this thing is on top of me, holding me down in the bed, and I'm trying to get up, you know, and so that's kind of where it all started. I was about 5 years old, and it, for me, it was just natural growing up in elementary school. What did I do? I went and got my friends, and I would go, hey, let's go find the cemetery. Hey, let's go find the, you know, do urban exploration, go through old buildings, go through, you know, anything odd or weird. Mm-hmm. But that was my normal. So
sure. I understand. I think I did a lot of the same things as far as getting out there. And I personally would wander around a cemetery. I'm a child who grew up in the 80s and Ghostbusters was quite big. So I would have my proton pack on and I'd be wandering around the local cemetery busting ghosts.
That's awesome.
While these individuals are grieving over, you know, Aunt Bernice. You know, it's like, I got Bernice. Yeah. And they're like, get back here, you little. Yeah. So I understand. It was normal. It's only like years later you look back and go, oh, that was kind of odd. So very interesting. A lot of this, it sounds like, initially was based on, you know, on paranormal fantasy, on pop culture of movies and things of that nature, and the spooky idea and the feeling that ghosts gave you, or visiting environments that had a spooky lore to them.
That's very true. And to compile on that, mm-hmm. is I was raised Catholic. Mm-hmm. So I have this credo that I was raised with that is, if you look at it, is pretty terrifying. And my godmother sent me the Sacred Heart picture of Jesus. If you've never seen it, go online, mm-hmm. Sacred Heart picture of Jesus, look it up. And it's Ted Nugent with his heart hanging out of his chest. That's what it is to a little kid, you know. I had this painting on my wall in my bedroom of this dude with long hair and his heart hanging out, and man, that thing, you know, and his eyes followed you, you know, wherever you went.
Sure,
it was absolutely terrifying. So, you know, as a child growing up, you're told what your reality is. Mm-hmm. And your experiences, you know, kind of add to that. But, you know, that's why I affectionately say this. It'll probably be on my tombstone. It'll probably say Catholic, you know, but I consider myself a recovering Catholic. So
I understand. Yeah. I mean, so you have these experiences and you just naturally kind of feel this excitement, this joy. You're drawn to this topic, this idea. Was it real for you as far as maybe ghosts really do exist at that moment, even though you really didn't have a paranormal experience at that moment in time? Or was it more so, I'm curious if this exists and I don't really care if it does or not. I just like the feeling of being spooked out.
You know, it's a little bit of all of that.
Yeah.
I sit back and think about, you know, what I was taught, you know, like the Ten Commandments and, yeah. You know, as a child, you assume that other people believe what you believe because that's your belief, and you don't, you know, have that much experience in other people's opinions and all that. But that kind of guides your interpretation of the world, I guess, and you get that through your five senses, you know, touch, taste, hearing, smell, and sight, and maybe you know, a sixth sense, like your internal clock sense of time or your intuition about how things make you feel. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, I think it can be a very confusing thing. And, but so I firmly believe there's something else. And I do that. I'm a scientific materialist. I've been in law enforcement 28 years or something like that. And so I operate on a level of, you know, I want some fact here that can lead me to getting an indictment through a grand jury. So mm-hmm. that's the way I look at the paranormal, is what is some really compelling evidence that something is happening. And you know, the funny thing is a lot of paranormal investigators, a lot of ghost hunters, they go in with a specific thing in mind, and they follow that track as opposed to following the real evidence and interpreting the real evidence. And so that's kind of where I come from. I believe that if you're investigating the paranormal, how can you use normal means to do so? Mm-hmm. We're looking for paranormal, other than normal, something different. And so if we're using gadgetry that is detecting certain things, well, that's normal. So maybe we're already equipped with our brains and our experience, our soul, our spirit, whatever it is, to interpret this stuff. And I travel all over Europe and all over the United States, and I do different ghost tours and I do ghost hunts, and I, you know, I'm on the lecture circuit, and I watch people fly to, let's say, Britain, And they spend a lot of money to stay at really cool places, and they spend 90% of their time looking at their phone or their gadget while they're walking around in the dark in some, you know, castle. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, put your gadgets down, have the experience, let yourself have that experience, let your mind, you know, your eyes and your ears and everything be a part of it, not just, you know, whether the light turns green or not. So
let's go back to your childhood, or wherever this may fall in your timeline, of where you actually did have an initial run-in with something that, in fact, you look back on and go, maybe that was paranormal, or maybe you're quite sure it was paranormal. You're like, damn, that was paranormal. What was that for you?
So the first thing would be, in my opinion, it's paranormal.
Sure.
It's I saw one of, like a Thunderbird, I guess. I saw a giant bird, and I was, once again, I'm 5 years old. I'm across the street playing with a friend. We're under this huge, beautiful weeping willow tree, and we're playing, doing something, and I had to go back home, and so I walk away. My friend goes inside his house. I'm walking across his yard. I walk down this little hill to the street. I step out on the street from underneath that weeping willow. And a bird flew over me, kind of swooped and flew over me. And his wingspan was the span of the road. And it's, you know, like a regular two-lane asphalt road.
Yeah.
And it scared the... Yeah, everything out of me. It was terrifying. And I ran and told my mom, and my mom's like, oh no, it's just probably a buzzard. I remember this, and I talked to my mom. My mom passed last year, and I had talked to her a few years ago about it, and she's like, yeah, I remember when you did that, because I was so scared. And she tried to, you know, calm me down and made me a little sandwich, and, you know, but I was really freaked out. And so she remembered that also. And in my mind, in this 5-year-old's mind, you know, my perception could have been off. You know, as a child, it's, you know, spatial time and all that. It could have been off, but it was vivid to me how big he was and what he looked like. It wasn't like a buzzard. It was more like a big hawk. You know, like a big eagle. And it could have been an eagle. There are eagles, believe it or not, in Texas, and they're a little west of where I live, about 20 miles. I guess one could have made it over there then and just been really rare. But anyway, it was huge. Mm-hmm. It scared the heck out of me.
It's interesting when you have those experiences as a child, and then you try and review them as an adult. And I know our memory can be very inaccurate as far as how we recall things. You're essentially rebuilding it every time you're recalling it. And sometimes that can be very fallible. But
yes,
sometimes yes. We just, you know, you just know what you saw.
Yeah. And it's interesting you bring that up, because a lot of people really don't understand our senses. I mean, we know, okay, I hear, I feel, I smell, I can taste, and I can see. But there's a lot more to it than that. And the simple fact is, for instance, just to go down this rabbit trail for a second.
Yeah.
For instance, we're all blind. We really don't see. People are like, well, I can see what's in front of me right now. No, you don't. The way your eye is constructed, it's constructed of rods and cones, and all it's designed to do is pick up the electromagnetic spectrum. And that's a huge spectrum, and the only part we can see is the visual spectrum right in the center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is I'm taking in this electromagnetic spectrum into these senses we call eyeballs, and then it's transformed into electrical and chemical responses, and it goes to the back of my brain, and the back of my brain receives it and then has to interpret what it believes it sees. So you're exactly right. Every time you see something, every time you experience something, your brain is constructing that as kind of an icon on how to navigate your environment. And I'm sitting in front, you know, I'm sitting at a desk, and it looks, you know, wood. I interpret it as wood. It's hard. I can't put my hand through it. That's the way I interpret it. It's very similar to an icon on a desktop. You know, that icon on your desktop is not Microsoft Word. It's an icon to go into a whole bunch of ones and zeros that are formed in a way that can make an interpretation of what you're trying to communicate. Mm-hmm. So that's really neat. If you sit and think about that for a minute and think that, you know, I believe what I see in front of me is a microphone and a computer. But what's really there, you know, I don't know whether the eyes are a lens to the soul. It's there's a lot of interpretation going on in our brain right now when we're trying to do this. And, you know, pareidolia goes in there, you know, where your visual perception picks up patterns where no patterns exist. But we're designed to do that for fight or flight and for survival, to recognize what is danger and what's friendly. So yeah, it gets really confusing, especially for witnesses or quote unquote experiencers of some sort of paranormal event. It gets really weird for you.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.